Well, hey, good morning. It is good to see the saints of God this morning. Praise the Lord. You guys were very excited and loud during worship. And guess what? I hope you can remain loud and excited during the word of the Lord, even though I believe this word today is going to pierce some hearts. Hallelujah. Amen. Just to give you some vision for what's coming up for the next month at MCC Sermon Series speaking is that we're gonna be looking at topics that are very practical for you to live out within your day-to-day life. And the name we have come up with to give the sermon series is Why Not Now? Because I am guessing for a while now, there are areas within your life and there are areas within my life where we just need a little bit of touch-up work. Can I get an amen? And yet we've been putting it off year after year after year. And why not now on July 3rd, 2022, at the beginning of the summer? Let's do the touch-up work spiritually, hallelujah, that is gonna have long-term investment to come. Can I get an amen? Amen. And I can't speak for all the weeks within this sermon series, but I can speak for this week in particular. If you do not practically live this sermon out within your day-to-day life with the power and the help of the Holy Ghost, then I believe it's going to be very dangerous for you going forward in your walk with God. And to help us discover the topic we're gonna be looking at today, I felt like the Lord has given me a text for today that is found within the Old Testament. It's actually found in 1 Kings chapter 21. So if you please have your Bible, flip out your Bible to the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 21. And for the most part, we're gonna cover this entire chapter today with our sermon. Hallelujah. And this Old Testament chapter, Paul tells us in 1 Corinthians, is meant to warn us. It's meant to encourage you and I, because believe it or not, saints, we can fall into the same sin and temptation that King Ahab fell in 1 Kings chapter 21. And I believe that there is too big of a cost for us today as a church to not take action today. Not next week, not tomorrow, but it must be today. God has given me, if you couldn't already tell, such soberness for this message where we as the people of God, we need to put the works of the flesh to death by the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, writes this in Romans 8:13. For if you are living according to the flesh, you must die. But if by the Spirit, someone repeat, by the Spirit, you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. Now, amen, hallelujah. There is a danger when we live for the sinful nature. There is a danger when we live for the flesh that results in death, and not just physical death. Paul in Romans 5, 6, and 7 has already established physical death is the wages of sin equals death. Amen. But in Romans chapter 8, he takes it a step further and he says, if we do not put to death the works of the flesh, then that results in death, meaning a spiritual death, meaning eternity in hell. Eternity in hell is what he's talking about. And for those within the congregation, within this crowd who are born again by the Spirit of God, I'm gonna say today with a heart of passion, a heart of mercy, a heart of boldness that we must put to death the works of the flesh. And the result of that is freedom, hallelujah. The result of that is life, hallelujah. The result of that is seeing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ face to face one day. So this morning, before we really get into the text we're looking at, 1 Kings chapter 21, I desire for us to pray to the Father who is in heaven. Because if he does not empower every single one of us to do what we talk about today, it's impossible for you to live out this message. The Christian life is impossible for you to live out in the flesh. You must have the Holy Spirit dwelling within you. So I'm about to pray. And this is not just a transition point to the next part of the message. No, we are praying to the Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So please, bow your heads in prayer, please. Father God, we just worship you in this moment. We recognize, God, that apart from you, nothing happens. God, I already thank you for the first service, for the word of the Lord going before me, and so much fruit came out of that, God. And I just pray, Lord, that your word would do what only it can do, Father. Transform the lives of every person within this room, God. May by the end of this message, we fall deeper and deeper in love with you. Hallelujah. May we see more of Jesus by the end of this message, Father. And it's a tough word. And Lord, I just pray that you give us a fertile heart, one where the seed of the gospel can take deep root within the depths of our heart. Once again, Father, I admit, without you going before me, this message is nothing. But if you give the increase today, people can be born again by the Spirit of God. People can walk out of here no longer in bondage to sin, but made alive to God. So I thank you, Holy Spirit, and it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So if you haven't done so, please open your Bibles to 1 Kings chapter 21, starting at verses 1 to 3. Now there was a man, Naboth from Jezreel, who owned a vineyard in Jezreel beside the palace of King Ahab of Samaria. One day, Ahab said to Naboth, "Since your vineyard is so convenient to my palace, I would like to buy it and use it as a vegetable garden. I will give you a better vineyard in exchange, or if you prefer, I will pay for it." But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down by my ancestors." So it's good to give you some context here about who this king is. Who is King Ahab? Well, he's one of the most well-known and throughout all of Old Testament, and he is known for not being a good king, but he is known for being one of the most wicked kings ever to walk the face of planet Earth, biblically speaking. 1 Kings 21, 25 says this, "No one else completely sold himself to what was evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife Jezebel." I believe that wording is so important for all of us here this morning to grasp a meaning of what it means. No one else completely sold himself to do what is evil. Now, King Ahab, he made the decision to give himself, to sell himself to do what is evil. This is a word for all of us here this morning because we, as God's handiwork, we as God's creation, when we sin in any way, we are selling ourselves to do what is evil, church. I've said it again, I've said it once and I'll say it again. We are God's handiwork. We were never created to do what is evil, to sell ourselves to do what is evil. We were created to delight in God. We were created to seek after God, to find joy and happiness in doing so. Hallelujah. But now, I believe we as humans have twisted that way of thinking. Most people, and I would even say there's Christians here within the congregation, you think that being a Christian is boring. You think that the Christian life in some ways is boring. And some people think by coming to Jesus Christ that you're gonna miss out on life. You're gonna miss out on the party that life has to offer you. But let me tell you today, people with that mindset are selling themselves for a lie that is straight from the depths of hell. Amen, indeed. I did not get born again until I was 19 years old. And let me tell you this, I have never had so much fun in my entire life. When I became a Christian and started living the Christian life, I experienced joy, peace. I experienced so much happiness within my life. But don't twist my words. I'm not saying it's an easy life, but when I came to Christ, I was able to stop eating from the world's table and I would start to eat from God's table, and it was so joyful, and here's the key word, it was so satisfying to my soul. And if you're not a born-again Christian this morning, let me just tell you, you haven't even started living yet. I'm at a point in my life, hallelujah, all glory to God, where I'd rather spend one day in the household of the Lord than 1,000 elsewhere, hallelujah. And my question for us as a church is, what about you this morning? The most delightful thing we can possibly do is seek after God, to seek first the kingdom of God, and all will be granted to you. David said it like this in Psalm 27, verse 4. One thing I ask from the Lord that I shall seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to meditate in his temple. King David was letting everyone know throughout all of history that even we would read this today, he's letting us know. He asked God one thing in prayer. And King David, he could ask for anything. Could have said money, could have said fame, females, happiness. But he says it's to dwell in the household of the Lord all the days of his life. And now, because of Jesus Christ dying on the cross, but he didn't just die, hallelujah. He rose from the dead, and now you and I can live in Christ. He can live within our heart, where I can literally right now in this moment say the address of Jesus Christ is Joseph Collier. And if you're born again by the Spirit of God, I can say the address of Jesus Christ is Brother Russ Nash. Hallelujah. Even in this moment, if you don't know what on earth I'm talking about, you can call upon the name of Jesus. You don't need a pastor. We have a high priest, AKA Jesus Christ, who can get you born again by the Spirit of God right now where you're sitting. Hallelujah. And David, he understood this in his prayer, not to sell himself to do what is evil. But King Ahab did not understand this. No other king sold himself to do what is evil like King Ahab. This king, more than any other king, led God's people in the worship of Baal. That's right. Not Yahweh, not the worship of Jesus, but a false, fake God named Baal. And let me just say this, any other God other than Jesus Christ of Nazareth is a fake God named Muhammad, a fake God named Buddha, whatever. If it's not Jesus, guess what? It is fake, hallelujah. And then there is other people like Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses that they are worshiping a false gospel. It's not the true gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, if anyone preaches to you a different gospel other than the gospel that was preached to us, count that person as accursed. Holy Spirit, you are good. All glory to God. And what you're about to see in 1 Kings 21 is you're gonna see a moral decline in the life of King Ahab. But King Ahab started, listen to this, King Ahab started with what our culture would say is a respectable sin, which is known as coveting. Coveting is to strongly desire, to take pleasure in, to delight in. Good example of this is, I can't live without this brand of coffee. Come on, first world problems, amen. Oh my goodness, I can't live without this brand of clothing or these new Nikes on my feet. I can't live without it. And why not now? July 3rd, stop coveting. This is a sin that is a gateway sin to so many other sins within our lives. And if we don't take action today when it comes to overcoming this sin by the power of the Holy Spirit, then let me boldly say this. This sin, coveting, could be the death of you. This could be the shipwrecking of your faith in Jesus Christ if you do not get this under control today. That's how serious this sin is. And yet the world, and I believe it has also made its way into the church, we often use coveting to motivate people to work hard. What am I talking about? There have been people in my life when I was younger, they would say something like this, Joseph, I want you to look at my car. And I'm like, okay. I'm looking at the vehicle. And then they would say, Joseph, look at my truck. Okay, I'm looking at the truck. And then they would say, Joseph, look at my house. okay, I'm looking at your house. And when I was a young boy growing up, these role models within my life would tell me these things to look at. And what they didn't know is that they were getting me to look at their fancy possessions and things like that. And what they were doing, without them even knowing what they were doing, they were getting me to covet their nice possessions. So that for the next 30 years of my life, I could work as hard as I possibly can, sweat, bleed to get a nice car or a nice truck or a nice house. I'm not saying anything's wrong with that, but I'm saying coveting is, amen. That is a sinful thing to do. And people do this all the time within our culture. You got a little 5-year-old boy or girl or whatever, and you say, look at that person on the television. Look at that player playing basketball. Look at him hit the softball. Look at him hit the baseball. Look at him throw the football. If you just work hard, if you put all your effort into playing that sport, you too can probably be on television one day. Make it to the MLB, make it to the NBA, all of these things. And it is birthed from you getting that little 5-year-old to covet another person's athletic ability. Well, there's nothing wrong with that. Amen. What? Amen. I love you, Ira. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing wrong with motivating people like that, Pastor Joseph. What are you talking about? Well, that's why I'm trying to get you to see today that coveting is a respectable sin in the world's eyes. And for a lot of Christians, it's also a respectable sin. You know why? Because it's disguised so well. But God... Everyone say, but God. But God thought this sin was so terrible that God put this sin in the Ten Commandments. This made the top 10 for Ten Commandments. Hallelujah. Amen. Only one amen for that. I understand why. Exodus 20, 17. Here's what made the top 10. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife or his male servant or his female servant or his ox or his donkey or anything that belongs to your neighbor. And this isn't just talking about your neighbor that lives next to you. This is talking about the human population in general. This is also the first internal commandment that we receive from God. And the reason why I believe this is the first and only internal commandment that we see within the Ten Commandments is because I would say every sin known to mankind first starts with coveting. You don't believe me? Before you commit adultery on your wife or husband, you know what you do? You covet another person's wife or husband. Look at King David on the rooftop in 1 Samuel chapter 11. He coveted Bathsheba, and then he went and had sex with Bathsheba. And then he went on to murder her husband. But it started with coveting. You covet before you steal something. Or maybe we live in America, so typically not... You know, this is not a blanket statement, but we don't have to go and steal things, but we can just go in and buy certain things. But you buying that possession may have first came about when you first coveted your neighbor's possession, and then you just went out because you had the money in the bank to go and buy it. But it's a possibility. It could have been birthed because you coveted another neighbor's possession. King Ahab in our story this morning wanted a vineyard that wasn't his. He offers Naboth a better vineyard, even offers to pay cash for it. And then right after that, we learn something very important about this character, Naboth. It says this in 1 Kings 21, verse 3. But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance that was passed down by my ancestors." So we learn that Naboth is a worshiper of Yahweh. Amen indeed. He is a worshiper of Jesus Christ. The same God you and I worship, Naboth worshiped in this story. And we also learn that King Ahab's coveting tempted Naboth to sin greatly. And the reason why Naboth was tempted greatly is because the Lord God Almighty, who is the owner of all of the land, amen, He forbid any Israelite family to surrender ownership of family lands permanently. It says this clearly in the law in Leviticus 25, 23. The land must never be sold on a permanent basis, for the land belongs to me, God himself talking this right here, hallelujah. You are only foreigners and tenant farmers working for me. So King Ahab wanted Naboth to sin against the Lord, and yet Naboth, because he fears God more than this ungodly king named Ahab, he said no to one of the most powerful kings at the time in history. Amen? Naboth said, no. The Lord forbids that I do such a thing. Naboth said no to the king of Israel and yes to the king of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Naboth didn't sell himself to do what is evil. And look how this king responds. So Ahab went home sullen because Naboth's answer. And then the king went to bed with his face to the wall and refused to eat. Some king that we got living in Israel. It is laughable. It is funny. But this is a sign that even you may be coveting things within your own life. If you not getting what you want causes you to act like King Ahab. And yes, I believe this is an extreme example of what someone does when they don't get their way. But if you're being real with yourself this morning, if I'm being real with myself this morning, there are times where even the most godly people, the best people within the room, you can act just like King Ahab. Even the best of us get terrible attitudes when we don't get what we want. My son Judah, who is 2.5 years old, he can be the sweetest boy at times. Me and my wife can look at my son Judah for 10 straight minutes and talk about him, how great he is, how he shares, how he does this and that. And then there's other times. Praise God. Amen. Where the other night, it's like 7:30, and I think I just took him outside and we came back in. I'm like, Judah, it's time for bed. And he just twists the doorknob and says, Daddy, I want to go outside. And I looked at him. I said, Judah, you need to look at me right now, boy. I said, listen up. It's bedtime, and you would have thought that I said no to not giving Judah food for the 8th day in a row. Because I'm not kidding you, my son does this. He bent down on the kitchen floor, a 2.5-year-old, and he banged his head on the ground. Not once, not twice, but 3 times. It's the saddest thing I've ever seen in my life. And in that moment, you can even ask my wife, I looked at him and I said, Judah, you need to repent. And he does. He needs to repent. You wait till he gets older. Woo, goodness. We're gonna have a great time. I can't wait. First mission trip, come on. We already did that. Number 2 is on the way. All right, but look, back on topic. All glory to God. But this situation with my son, Judah, got me thinking how we as adults, we can so easily disguise our sin. This got me thinking how we can so easily just hide our sin. And I'm sure there has been times recently within your life, and I'm not talking about 20 years ago. I'm not talking about 5 years ago. I'm not talking about a year ago. I'm talking about 7 days. I'm talking about maybe on the ride here to church where maybe you acted just like King Ahab. You acted just like my son Judah banging his head on the ground. Amen indeed. And we can have us not getting our way or that possession. We can start to have that affect us physically. Did you know that? Mentally, spiritually. And if anyone should not struggle with coveting, it should be a king, right? It should be King Ahab. I mean, he has it all. And yet we find the king of Israel pouting like a little baby because Naboth the farmer feared God and wouldn't give the vineyard to Ahab. Coveting caused Ahab not to eat, caused him to become angry, caused him to act like a little baby. And all this to say is another reason why coveting is so dangerous, because coveting does not satisfy the flesh. Most sin satisfies the flesh. You go and steal a vehicle today, your flesh is gonna be satisfied when you're in your new vehicle. You go and have sex before marriage, your flesh is going to be satisfied. You go home today and you watch certain things on the internet that you know you shouldn't be watching, your flesh is going to be satisfied. But you go and covet a car that you can't afford, and guess what? The flesh is not gonna be satisfied. When it comes to this sin known as coveting, you receive instant consequences for committing such a sin as this. Coveting gets the sin to just rot away when we struggle with this sin, because coveting in no way, shape, or form satisfies the flesh. It just eats you away. So much so, will you look at that item to buy every single day of the week? So much so that even when you're trying to pray and seek first the kingdom of God, your Amazon shopping list is just coming to mind again and again. So much so that cup of coffee is coming to mind. That new piece of clothing is coming to mind. Those new shoes are coming to mind. That new iPad is coming to mind even when you're trying to pray. And let me tell you today, brothers and sisters, in that moment, cry out to the Lord. You have a hole within your heart that no material possession can fill. Only God can fill that void within the depths of your heart in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. Because when you're coveting, that is leading to your discontentment. And what you're really losing in that moment is your contentment in Jesus Christ. Spell it out very clearly for you. Coveting leads to discontentment, which is a reflection of you losing your contentment in Christ. Let that sit in. Let that marinate within your heart. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 5:6, he says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be satisfied. Praise God. You and I, brothers and sisters in Christ, should hunger after righteousness. And guess what the Bible teaches? The Bible teaches that Jesus is righteous, that Jesus is the righteous one. That is an attribute of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And when we seek after the righteous one, that's when we become satisfied by the power of the Holy Spirit. But on the negative side of that, when we don't hunger for him, when we don't thirst for him, that's when we start to covet the silly things of the world, which leads to discontentment, which causes us to lose our contentment in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's continue on in our story. Verses 5 and 7 of 1 Kings. Listen to this. Oh my goodness. What's the matter? His wife Jezebel asked him, what's made you so upset that you're not even eating? I asked Naboth to sell me his vineyard or trade it, but he refused. That's King talking. And then Jezebel, are you not the king of Israel or not? Jezebel demanded, get up and eat something. Don't worry about it. I will go to Naboth's vineyard and get it myself. So now Jezebel, his wife, is introduced into our story, and she's sarcastically rebuking her husband, King Ahab, because you need to know that Jezebel comes from a Canaanite background. And what that means is that in the land of Canaan, the kings ruled with total authority. What the king said, you best do it or you're gonna die. But for the nation of Israel, everyone say the nation of Israel. The king is not the all-powerful authority figure. Hallelujah. God is. Amen. And that's why King Ahab didn't just take Naboth's vineyard, because he knew God's law. And God's law said he couldn't do such a thing. But King Ahab's wife could care less about God's law. So Jezebel told King Ahab, don't worry about it. I'll go get you the vineyard. Now, here's another truth about coveting that we learn in Scripture. Your coveting could cause other people around you to stumble. This is another reason why us as a church got to be sober about this. Got to take this serious today, not tomorrow, today. We must kill coveting within our life because this sin can spread like wildfire to those closest to you, where it doesn't just affect your spouse or your family member or your best friend, but it will affect your kids' kids if you do not get coveting under control. This is why we must take the sword of the Spirit and kill coveting within our life and find ultimate delight in God. Can I get an amen? Ahab's coveting, which once again is a respectable sin in the world's eyes, and in the church it's even a respectable sin, causes an extreme moral decline within the life of his family, which we will now see. 1 Kings 21:8-14 say this. So she wrote letters in Ahab's name, sealed them with his seal, sent them to the elders and the other leaders of the town where Naboth lived. In her letters, she commanded, call the citizens together for a time of fasting. Give Naboth the place of honor and set two troublemakers across from him who will accuse him of cursing God and the king. Take him out and stone him to death. So the elders and the other town leaders followed the instructions of Jezebel had written in the letters. They called for a fast and put Naboth at a prominent place before the people. Then the two troublemakers came and sat down across from him, and they accused Naboth before all the people, saying, he cursed God and the king. So, wow. Oof, sorry. This is just deep stuff right here, man. He cursed God and the king. So he was dragged outside the town and stoned to death. The town leaders then sent word to Jezebel, Naboth has been stoned to death. Let me just tell you, church, this morning that this all started with King Ahab coveting a vineyard. This is how serious the sin known as coveting truly is within our life, because it is a gateway to many other sins within our life. His coveting led Jezebel, and not just Jezebel, but the town leaders, to plot the murder of a human being, a godly human being named Naboth. And not just Naboth, but also his sons, because Jezebel and King Ahab knew if they just kill Naboth, then one of his sons are gonna take over the land, and it won't be King Ahab's or Jezebel's. So what they had to do was accuse Naboth of blasphemy. Blasphemy of God and cursing the king. And then at that time, they could kill the whole family, and then the land would just become the king at that time. And Jezebel unjustly accused Naboth of blasphemy, which would have been one of the most just worst punishments known to mankind at the time, if you committed blasphemy. And that's why Jesus said, blasphemy of the Holy Spirit cannot be forgiven. So it's not just this is a serious thing in the Old Testament. This is a New Testament thing too, brothers and sisters. Under the Mosaic law, we see in Leviticus chapter 24, verse 14, bring the one who has cursed outside of the camp and let all who heard him lay their hands on his head, and then let all the congregation stone him to death. First of all, you and I just need to take a breather. We just need to take a little stopping point and just look at the hypocrisy that we see Jezebel and King Ahab. They follow the law of God to a T. We learn about two people who know the law of God clearly, because they know that if they accuse Naboth of this sin known as blasphemy, that they can stone him and his entire family. And this is a point for all of us today, because Jezebel and Ahab, they knew the ways of God, right? But they didn't follow the ways of God. They followed the ways of Satan. And this is a warning sign for all of us here today. And I especially want to unction and call out any church leader that is here today, and I'm talking about small group leaders, I'm talking about elders, pastors, kids workers, nursery workers. This is for all of us especially, that you and I can know so much about the Bible And yet our life may not reflect simple, basic, biblical principles and values that are clearly revealed to us within Holy Scripture. And one that is really rampant within our day right now in this moment is like being pro-life. Praise God, this morning, whether you like it or not, we need to know that we serve a God who is indeed pro-life. Therefore, you and I should be people that value little precious babies that have not been born. Hallelujah. And I just want to throw this in there. I am in no way, shape, or form being political this morning. I am simply being biblical. Crack it open and look for yourself. We serve a God who is indeed pro-life. And God has mercy and grace for anyone within this room who has had an abortion. And I'm not just talking to females, I'm talking to males. If you've encouraged a female to do such a thing as that. And not just for the people that have maybe done it, but if you came here this morning believing that God is not indeed pro-life, I just wanna, with so much grace and truth within my heart, just say God has mercy for you too today. God has grace waiting to be poured out upon you. And whatever the Bible teaches, we as people of God must just transform and conform to what it says, whether you believe it or not, whether the culture just is so down our throats saying, this is not right, this is not right. No, but if the Bible says it is right in Jesus' mighty name. Hallelujah. And I say that once again with grace and truth within the depths of my heart, and that's you again. I just say, call upon the name of the Lord and humbly repent. And Jezebel and King Ahab followed the letter of the law so much so that they even followed the commandment in Scripture about taking a person outside of the camp. Just how Naboth was wrongfully accused of blasphemy and sentenced to die outside of the camp. In the same way, you know who else was? Jesus. King Jesus was. You can see the foreshadowing of Jesus Christ in 1 Kings chapter 21. All glory to God. Matthew 26, 62 to 68. The high priest stood up and said to him, do you not answer? What is it that these men are testifying against you? But Jesus kept silent. And the high priest said to him, I adjure you by the living God. Let's just point out something. The high priest is talking to the living God. The high priest is talking to God in the flesh and doesn't even know it. You are the living God, that you tell us whether you are Christ, the Son of God. And Jesus said to him, you have said it yourself. Nevertheless, I tell you, hereafter you will see the Son of Man sitting at the right hand of power and coming on the clouds of heaven. Then the high priest tore his robes. The high priest of this day did not say amen to that. The high priest actually accused Jesus of blasphemy and says, he is blasphemed. What further need do we have of witnesses? Behold, you have now heard the blasphemy. What do you think? They answered, he deserves death. Then they spat in his face and beat him with their fists, and others slapped him. And they said, prophesy to us, you Christ, who is the one who hit you. Here we see our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ having pretty much the same fate that Naboth had in 1 Kings chapter 21. Just like Naboth was accused of blasphemy, so was Jesus accused of blasphemy by the religious leaders of the day. And these religious leaders of the day, they would have known the scriptures better than most people on planet Earth. And yet that they missed the coming of the Messiah. The coming of the Messiah who was standing right in front of them. And to take it a step further than Naboth's situation, they accused not just another godly person. They accused Jesus Christ. And Jesus is not just another godly person. He is once again God in the flesh. Hallelujah. Amen. Jesus is the one who's God in the flesh. I love it. Jesus is the one who was never created, but the creator alongside God the Father, alongside God the Holy Spirit. And then Jesus was led outside the camp like Naboth. Hebrews 13, 12 explains this perfectly for us. Therefore, Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people through his blood, suffered outside of the gate. But Jesus was not stoned, church, we know that, but crucified on a cross. And Jesus, on that cross, he absorbed our punishment by bearing all of our sins ever committed throughout all of history to himself. So that when you and I, even when we act like King Ahab, even when we act like Jezebel, we can exercise faith in Jesus Christ and he can forgive us. Hallelujah. When we believe unto Jesus. And I'm here today to say, where are you at in your walk with God? And I'm not just talking to unbelievers. I'm talking to believers also. Do you love him? Do you have a desire within your heart, not for the things of the world, but the things of God? Do you have a longing to know Jesus as your master, as your friend, as your Lord, as your God? Because if not, then I'm gonna say you maybe have a head knowledge like Jezebel, a head knowledge like King Ahab, but no relationship with God. That's why Matthew 7, 21 and 23 were recorded for us. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons and in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you, depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. Jesus Christ today desires for you to know him in a personal way this morning. And those who truly know Jesus Christ, you won't be like Jezebel or King Ahab, who may know in their heads about the law of God, but don't practice the law of God in their daily life and consider it joy doing so. Why not now? June 3rd, 2022. Give your life to Jesus Christ. Why not now, for those of you who are far away from the Lord, return to the Father's house? Why not now, those of you who are lukewarm, repent of being lukewarm? Why not now, even in this moment, cry out to God for more of him? God, have more of our heart, more of us. You cannot overcome the sin known as coveting and your own strength. You can't overcome any sin within your own strength. Once again, the Christian life is impossible apart from Jesus Christ. You must be born again by the Spirit of God to overcome coveting within your own life. Apart from Jesus, it's impossible. So Ahab and Jezebel killed Naboth and his sons. Let's learn what happens next. 1 Kings 21, 15 to 26. When Jezebel heard this news, she said to Ahab, you know the vineyard Naboth wouldn't sell you? Well, you can go have it. He's now dead. So Ahab immediately went to the vineyard of Naboth to claim it. But the Lord said to Elijah, everyone say, but the Lord said, go down to meet King Ahab of Israel who rules in Samaria. He will be at Naboth's vineyard in Jezreel, claiming it for himself. Give him this message. This is what the Lord says. Wasn't it enough that you killed Naboth? Must you also rob him too? Because you have done this, dogs will lick your blood at the very place where they licked the blood of Naboth. So my enemy, you have found me, Ahab exclaimed to Elijah. Yes, Elijah answered, I have come because you have sold yourself to do what is evil in the Lord's sight. So now the Lord says, I will bring disaster on you and consume you. Come on, our God is an all-consuming fire, all glory to God. I will destroy every one of your male descendants, slave and free alike, anywhere in Israel. I'm going to destroy your family just as I did the family of Jeroboam, son of Nebat, and the family of Baasha, the son of Ahab, Abijah. For you have made me very angry and have led Israel into sin. And regarding Jezebel, the Lord says, dogs will eat Jezebel's body at the plot of land in Jezreel. The members of Ahab's family who die in the city will be eaten by dogs, and those who die in the field will be eaten by vultures. No one else so completely sold himself to do what is evil in the Lord's sight as Ahab did under the influence of his wife. His worst outrage was worshiping idols. Just as the Amorites had done, the people whom the Lord had driven out from the land ahead of the Israelites. Once again, let's pause, take a deep breath, and recognize this all started with King Ahab coveting Naboth's vineyard. When we covet, we not only open up a gateway to other sins within our life, but we also receive judgment. And I want us to take a look at exactly how King Ahab responded to this word from Elijah the prophet. 1 Kings 21, 27 and 29 say this, but when Ahab heard this message, he tore his clothing, dressed in burlap and fasted. He even slept in burlap and went about in deep mourning. Then another message from the Lord came to Elijah. Do you see? Do you see how Ahab has humbled himself before me? Because he has done this, I will not do what I promised during his lifetime. It will happen to his sons. I will destroy his dynasty. King Ahab, one of the most wicked kings throughout the history of Israel, throughout the Old Testament, receives wrath from God? No, not right here. He receives mercy and grace from God. Hallelujah. King Ahab deserved judgment. I mean, he's the reason for killing of Naboth, a godly person, and his whole family. This is crazy stuff right here that even someone like him can receive mercy from God. And in the same way, you and I, what a beautiful picture of the gospel. No matter what you've ever done within your entire life, if you ask the Lord for mercy and grace, he can too forgive you. Hallelujah. Even if you murdered, even if you've killed, even if you've fornicated, even if you've committed adultery, even if you lied, he can forgive you. What a beautiful gospel presentation that we see right here in the life of King Ahab, turning to God Almighty, humbly repenting of his sins, and the Lord forgives him. He received mercy. And why not now give your life to Jesus Christ today? Hallelujah. Now, before I close out, I felt like the Lord was wanting me to give you practical ways to defeat coveting within your life altogether. That at the right now in this moment, you'd have some tools in your tool bag, slay up the enemy. Hallelujah. The first thing that you must do is admit you need Jesus to defeat this. Go to God with a heart of desperation, saying, God, I need you to defeat coveting within my life. If you do not empower me, if you do not give me the strength and the ability, Father, if you don't fill this within my heart, I'm gonna live a defeated life. I'm never gonna overcome coveting. But if you sit there and are desperate for God and cry out to him, he hears the prayer of the righteous, hallelujah, and he will answer you, hallelujah. You must admit that you need Jesus Christ to defeat coveting within your life. Famous Bible verse says this in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 9, that the eyes of the Lord search to and from throughout the whole earth, searching for a heart that is fully committed to him. And then the Lord says right after that, I will strengthen the person whose heart is fully committed to me. This morning, that could be you. The eyes of the Lord are searching. Lord, I have a heart that is fully committed to you. And even if it's not, I desire for it to be fully committed to you. That person will be strengthened, not by a billionaire, not by a muscular person, not by someone of the world, not by a king, not by the president, by the Lord. By the Lord God Almighty. That's who will strengthen you. And the second thing I recommend is that you pray that God would fill that spot within your heart. We've already made this clear, but I believe when you covet, that's creating a discontentment within your heart, and it's coming from you losing contentment in Jesus Christ. King Ahab was king, and yet coveting ate him alive. And then we have people that in the book of Acts, like Paul in Acts chapter 16, he's in a prison cell. And what is he doing? He's singing. He's singing songs to God. He's praising Jesus. And yet he is in a jail cell. And yet we see Paul being content. Hallelujah. Then we see baby King Ahab being so discontent that he's not sleeping and he's pouting like a little baby. Go to God. Ask the Lord to fill that void within your heart. You can't fill it with a material thing. It has to be a spiritual thing, AKA Jesus Christ himself. Go to God. And then thirdly, and I'm gonna close out with this, pray the prayer of Agar. Now this is gonna be tough for some of you here today, and I believe this, some of you will not even pray this prayer with us. But I feel like the Lord wants us to pray this prayer as a congregation, and I believe this will help us kill coveting within our life. So it's Proverbs 30, verses 7-9, and I'm gonna give some directions before we do what we're about to do. But I'm gonna say this, I'm gonna say, oh God, I beg two favors from you. And then I want the saints of God to say exactly what I said back to me. And you're not saying it to me, you're saying it to the Lord God Almighty. I want us to pray this prayer to the Lord. I felt like this is the way I was supposed to end the sermon, not with an altar call, not with any type of call, but with praying this prayer and meaning it within the depths of our heart. There's many of people that pray prayers, they repeat a religious prayer and God never hears their prayer. But if you do it with a heart that truly is right with the Lord will hear your prayer. The Lord, creator of the universe, will hear you talk in this moment. Amen? So, I'm gonna read a line, then you guys repeat. I'll read another line, then you guys repeat. Sound good? Amen. And for you wonderful people online, you guys can do the same in your living room, wherever you're at. So Proverbs 30, verses 7-9. Oh God, I beg two favors from you. Let me have them before I die. First, help me to never tell a lie. Second, give me neither poverty nor riches. Give me just enough to satisfy my needs. For if I grow rich, I may deny you and say, who is the Lord? And if I am too poor, I may steal and thus insult God's holy name. Amen. Why not now? July 3rd, stop coveting. It's too dangerous to continue. And it's not just dangerous for you. It's dangerous for your kids, 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 kids. It's dangerous even if you don't have a kid. It's dangerous for your best friend. If you don't have a best friend, it's dangerous for your neighbor in Jesus Christ, your brother or sister. Hallelujah. It is dangerous. And by the power of the Holy Spirit, you can defeat this. I guarantee it. Make this the prayer of your heart today. Give me Jesus. I only need Jesus. And with that being said, people of God, let's stand to our feet. And as you leave church today, I just recommend that every single person find a place within this day to get alone with God. Look over the verses we talked about. Look over everything I taught this morning and you see whether it was true or not. And you go to God about everything and seek first the kingdom of God. He will fill that void within your heart and stop you from coveting. Can I get an amen? Amen? So may the Lord bless you and keep you, and may his face shine upon all you in Jesus' name. Have a blessed day.